today on Living on Every Word.
This God who named the stars wants to get to know you. What a great God. What a great God to make it so personal. The God of the universe, Creator God, who named the stars, knows me. This is the greatness of our God. It's a relationship that God wants to have with you.
How would you define greatness? Webster's defines greatness as the state of being much above average in size, degree, or power. In our culture, we often see greatness in terms of athletic or artistic ability. Well, in today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher takes a look at what greatness really is. In part one of our study, The Greatness of God.
Living on every word.
In search of the greatest technology, the greatest team, the greatest sale, the greatest movie. We're all in search of the greatest. Hello, anybody in there? Haven't we forgotten something very important? Our God is the ultimate in greatness. Do you really know how great He is? If you took a rocket to the sun, going the speed of light, it would take you 8.5 minutes. About the time it takes to bake a potato in the microwave. If you went on to the next closest star in our galaxy, it would take you nearly 5 years. Or about the time it took some of you to get through college. Now if you went on to the next closest star, it would take you over 1,000 years. Whoa! Now if you wanted to go all the way to the farthest star in the Milky Way, it would take you, at the speed of light, remember, over 1 billion years! Now that's a lot of zeros! And that's just one galaxy out of billions of galaxies in the universe! Wrap your head around that one. And the same God who named every star wants to know you. How great is that?
If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139. I'm captured by the last statement. This God who named the stars wants to get to know you. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 139 that He already does know you. He's known you all your life. The Bible speaks in this passage of Scripture, I believe, some of the most definitive descriptions of God's greatness. And what's so great about this grand and great God that He narrows it down to the personality of every one of us, the person of you and me. The greatness of God that transcends eternity, that transcends this greatness and comes to want to have this wonderful relationship with you and me. And I call that great. Yeah, the magnificence of the universe. I get to sit out at night and look at the stars, and the heavens do declare the glory of God. But I'm going to tell you this. You declare the glory of God. You're called, we are called as the church of the living God to declare how great our God is. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I see a number of things. Notice with me, if you would, I'm going to read through verse 16. O Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You've enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge, it's too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. And if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes even saw my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. What a great God. What a great God to make it so personal. The God of the universe, Creator God, who named the stars, knows me. And when you open up the beginning pages of the Bible, what do you find? In the beginning, God created all this. He created the heavens and the earth. And that's just the beginning of creation, because God is eternal. I mean, can you imagine with me this self-existent one who's been alive for all eternity, who's been around for all eternity, decides in one moment to create the heavens and the earth and to create them for you and me, His creatures. Notice some of the qualities in this passage of Scripture. The first one is that He knows all and He sees all. He knows all and He sees all. But the bottom line of this is He knows you. I mean, not only does He know all and see all, He knows you and He sees you. This very moment. That's how great this God is. Some theologians call it omniscient. He knows everything. There's not anything that He doesn't know. I mean, this perfect God, this great God. David says, you've searched me. You've examined me. You've penetrated my heart. You know everything about me. Everything. This knowing is through a reflection. It's like God taking the time to look at you, to examine you, to behold you. That's what this word means. He's reflected about you. He has thought about you and all that you are, all that He's made in you. He considers you. He knows your ways. And the Bible says He's intimately acquainted with you. Acquainted means to know intimately. And that knowledge of knowing you, the Hebrew word means that He wants to be of use and service and profit to you. In His intimacy, He's available and involved to love and to guide me. It's just not some deal where He's just way out here and He knows you. No, He wants to be intimately involved with you. This is the greatness of our God. It's a relationship that God wants to have with you. Listen, we have this great God. He knows us. He's in the heavens, and there's none like Him. It's the God who sees. 2 Chronicles 16:9 on the screen says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Our God sees you. He sees your thoughts. He knows your ways. He knows what you're going to say. He knows all and sees all, and he knows you. The second thought in this scripture, and back to Psalm 139, is that God is everywhere, and he's everywhere all the time. Now, the great truth of that is that as believers in Christ, he's always with us. Isn't that a great thought? It's a great thought that God knows everything and sees everything, and he's always with us, unless you're walking in rebellion, and then that's not a very good thought, right? Or you're thinking some things that you need not think, or you're participating in some things that you don't need to be participating in. Well, the Bible says he's with us. Those in Christ, he is with us always. And I want to say a couple of things about the presence of God. The first thing is, he says, I can't flee God's presence. You cannot flee the presence of God. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture in 139, he says, listen, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand's going to lead me, and your right hand's going to lay hold of me. And even if I say, this darkness, it's so great, it's overwhelmingly, well, the light around me will be as night. But even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. So listen, I cannot flee the presence of God. And David knows that. David knows that in the great times of fighting Goliath and in the moral failure of taking someone else's wife and sleeping with her and killing him. You cannot flee from the presence of our great God. And if you're in Christ, that's really a good thing. That is really a good thing. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I think about a couple of things. Adam and Eve sin. Perfect with God, walked with God, and all of a sudden there is sin, and there is darkness, and there is separation, and there is this absolute total awareness of God's holiness and their sinfulness. And so what do they do when God's supposed to walk by and have time with them in the cool of the evening? They hide from the presence of God. And just because God says, hey, Adam, where are you? Doesn't mean they're playing hide and seek and he doesn't know where they are. He just wants them to know, hey, I'm close enough that you can hear my voice. Matter of fact, close enough to sense me and feel me and hear me. Where are you? We hid ourselves. Well, why'd you hide yourselves? Because we're naked. Well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I have not commanded you to eat? And of course, we have the story. I think of Jonah trying to flee the presence of God. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee Tarshish. From where? The presence of the Lord. So he goes down to Joppa, found the ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down to go with him to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He's trying to flee the presence of the Lord. And you know the rest of that story, right? Throw him out. Fish swallows him up. And for 3 days, he's in the belly of this fish. Not a very good place to be. But how typical is that? When we flee the presence of God, somehow God comes along with a great fish and swallows us up. I'm being figuratively here, okay? But we get swallowed up, and we get paralyzed, and we get immobile. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. Matter of fact, it's a good thing if you're in Christ. You know why? Because when we are immobile, God wants to speak. It's in the belly of that whale that God speaks to him and he hears God. And finally, God says, listen, you can't flee from my presence. And when Jonah finally gets it, the fish coughs him up. And what does he do? He runs to Nineveh. Not very happy about it. Not very satisfied about it. Still doesn't want to go. Doesn't like those people. Doesn't want to see those people really come to God. But he goes. Don't want to spend another night in a fish. Do you? I mean, there are some of us who come from the pit of destruction and we're thinking, God, I don't want to spend another night in the pit. I don't want to spend another night feeling like I feel and thinking like I think and acting like I act. Because there's a lostness about it. There's an aloneness about it. There's a defeat about it. There's nothing validating about living in the pit or being swallowed by a fish. You can't flee from God's presence. And the question I want to ask in this moment is, if you're running from God, if you're running from a call, if you're running from the things that God has asked you to do, listen, you will find joy when you stop and run back to him. You will find him. In this passage, you know, He's there anyway. And the minute you turn, it's amazing how fast he's there. And you realize he was there all the time. All the time. Another thing about God's presence. If God knows you, he does not leave you. Okay, that's the second thought. If God knows you, he does not leave you. Hebrews 13:5. Be content with what you have, for he himself has said, I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What will man do to me? 1 Samuel 12:22. The Lord will not abandon his people. Why? On account of his greatness. On account of his great name. Because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so there's this thought in Scripture that since God is everywhere, that you can't flee his presence, therefore he does not really leave you. Man, there are times that you feel like God's distant. And sometimes God makes you feel that way. But let me ask you, when you don't feel like God's around, do you not know that he knows everything about you still? That he knows what's going on, even though you don't feel like he is around? We all have those kinds of seasons in our lives. When we feel like God has just drifted from us and we realize we're the one drifting. And we're the one cutting him off. And God's there all the time. A third thing about God's presence is that you can't flee from it. And if God knows you, he doesn't leave you. And then God's presence is designed for your good. He wants to be with you. Why? To help you and deliver you. He wants to help you and deliver you. I love Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, in his call. God says, don't be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Verse 19, he goes on, he says, they will fight against you, but they'll not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. With you to deliver you. With you to snatch you out of the fish, out of the lion's jaws, out of the pit. I am with you to deliver you. I'm with you to deliver you from the pain that you feel and the struggle that you have with certain things in life. I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to save you. That's why I'm with you. I love the Christmas story. When the angel comes to Mary, he says, you're going to name this Holy One Jesus. And that's the word Jesus. Jesus means Savior, because he's going to save his people from their sins. And when he shows up and tells Joseph, says, listen, don't leave your wife. I mean, because she's not pregnant with any man's seed. She's pregnant with the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit. And this is a holy offspring, the Holy One. And it's a fulfillment of the prophet that says that this virgin will be with child. And this child will be named Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus to save us, to deliver us. And it's not just for that deliverance time when you received Christ and you came to him. He continues the work of Emmanuel in Jesus. God with us to deliver us. To deliver us from that temptation. To deliver us from that pit. He's a great God. His presence is for this purpose. A second purpose is for instruction and guidance. He helps, he delivers, he instructs, he guides. Deuteronomy 4:7 says, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as the whole law which I'm setting up before you this day? I got a great God who's given a great word to tell you just how to live, to show you how to respond, to guide you, direct you. The Word of God, the Logos, and then yet the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of the living God in your life. He comes, my friends. His presence is there to guide you, to lead you, to direct you. His presence is near. A third reason is for joy and peace. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. His presence is for the purpose, for grace and mercy. Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if you go back to Psalm 139, I want you to notice something. God knows all. He knows you. God is everywhere. He's with you. But also God created everything. His works are great. He created you. Now notice, theologians call this omnipotence, all powerful. Verse 13. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I want to ask the question of you, how many of you believe this today? Fearfully and wonderfully made. My Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God for His particular purposes in this life. But I think so often that as we as human beings feel so inadequate, when we look at the mirror, when we look at our frame, that somehow we're defined by that. Instead of being defined by this thought that God says, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. This omnipotent great God, this God who knows everything, He's everywhere, this God who created everything. And you know what David says? He says, you know what this provokes in me? He says it like this in chapter 39, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it's too high, I can't attain it. And you know what I want to do? I want to give you five things that I think needs to be provoked in your life. When you think of the greatness of God, the greatness of His presence, the greatness of His power, the greatness of His knowledge. Number one, you need to wonder about it. And when I think about wonder, I'm not saying scratch your head. That wonder is, this is wonderful. This is awesome. Our God is so great that the God of the universe, who billions of people who have passed before, He knows me. And therefore, I want to wonder about it. I want to meditate upon it. I want to meditate on these kinds of passages to think, this God is so great that He knows and He does all and He's everywhere at one time. And I want to wonder at that. And I want to be with Him to say, you know what? I can't even attain to this knowledge. It just blows my mind. It blows me away. Yeah, I think we can look at the science things and think, man, that blows me away. But listen, tomorrow, I'm not going to be thinking about the farthest star. I'm going to be thinking about how do I get through my day? How do I move to the next thing? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do these things? And you know what I'm going to look at? I'm going to look at this, the greatness of God for His people. Yeah, magnificent God who comes into your life to live. I want to wonder about that. I want to see God in me. Wonder and enjoy it. Meditate on this fact that God is so great and who God is in your life. The second thing that I want to encourage you to do, and which I think that the greatness of God should provoke in you and promote in you, is an examination, to examine. To examine. Jeremiah 12:3 says, you know me, O Lord. You see me, and you examine my heart's attitude towards you. When I think about the awesome knowledge of God in my life, what do I want to do? I want to examine my heart. God's examined me. Matter of fact, the Bible says He scrutinizes my path. Literally, as He winnows my path. He gets the chaff out of my life. It's an agricultural thought. And David is very confident to know that God's going to get the junk out, the dross out, the chaff that's not good wheat. So I want to examine my heart, and I want to live to please Him. So what I do, I want to wonder about what God's done, but I want to walk in examination. And then the third thing I want to do is I want to worship Him. I want to worship Him for His greatness in my life. Now turn to Psalm 103 for just a moment. Psalm 103 for just a moment. Talks about why we need to praise God. Now here's what we bless God about. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless His holy name. I'm going to worship Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of His benefits. What has He done? He's pardoned all your iniquities. Healed all your diseases. He's redeemed your life from the pit. He's crowned you with loving kindness and compassion. And He's going to satisfy your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He'll not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. Why? Because He's not dealt with us according to our sins. And He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Hey, if God dealt with you according to our sins, and He rewarded us according to our iniquities, we wouldn't be here right now. Would not be here right now if we got all we deserved. He's not dealt with you according to your sins. Because as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. And just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself, he knows our frame, and he's mindful that we are dust. Good news. Great news. And I want to worship him. This is too wonderful for me to understand how great God is. Because I know David writes this. He writes this in the shadow of failure and success and disappointment. And yet as he writes these psalms of God knowing it all, he also will pen psalms that say, he's forgiven me of it all. And I worship him. And I bow down to him. I wonder, I examine, I worship my great God. There's a fourth thing. Trust. Trust. I want to trust in his presence. If God is there in my life to guide me and to lead me, if he is there to give me peace, I want to trust in the presence of God. I want to trust in him. And that's what this provokes. I want to believe the great promises of my great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just want to trust him. You know, there's a great scripture in Psalm 22:9. And notice what it says. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb, and you made me trust when upon my mother's breasts. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. What is he saying? From the moment I was born, the moment I was conceived, you've been with me. Therefore, I can trust you. A fifth thing and a final thing that it provokes us to serve him. It provokes us to serve him. God's greatness provokes us in these five areas. It provokes us to wonder, to examine. It provokes us to worship him, to trust him. It brings this desire to serve him. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Watch. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Notice it again. Know that the Lord himself is God. He made us fearfully and wonderfully made. We didn't do it ourselves. Now we are his people and we are the sheep of his pasture. And what I love about this psalm is, I always think of John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Serve him. The greatness of God in my life. Yes, I wonder about him. I examine my life. I worship him. I trust him. I serve him. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? The greatness of God. The greatness of God in your life. This great God who knows everything about you. This great God who's always with you. This great God who's made you, has made you wonderful in his sight. How do I worship him? How do I bow down to him? How do I respond to this greatness of God? Is there maybe some of you here today say, I'm just having a hard time trusting God today because just of all the things that I'm going on in my life. But my friends, he's with you today. He's with you for purpose. What I'd like for you to do in this moment, in this beginning series, this beginning of the series of the greatness of God, is to ask God to say, God, I want to see your greatness, and I want to respond to it appropriately. Two simple things. I want to see how great you are in my life, and I want to respond appropriately. I'll tell you, that is the call of today's message and series. Oh God, I want to see your work. The greatness of God. He knows you. He's with you. He's made you. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on